I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing.
Thank you, Jean. The theme of belief in Jesus as the messianic fulfillment, that is, the light that shines in the darkness of the world, is a core message of John the Baptist. And this is what John the Baptist would testify to in his brief ministry that we get to hear about. He is wanting people to understand who the light is and how to obtain the light. For those of you who have ever watched on TV any court proceedings, as much as I hate to say it, things like Judge Judy, but anyway, any court proceedings, you know that one of the important things in these things is testimony. And you have your witnesses, and they witness to things, and they tell you what they saw. And that's also called attestant. They are attesting to what they saw. And that's what John the Baptist does, is he's attesting to Jesus. He's attesting to the Son of God coming on earth and the Word made flesh among us. And that's an important thing to keep in mind, is are we as believers testifying, attesting, witnessing to what we know and are learning about God? When I was in seminary at Bright Divinity School, I took a course on religions of the world, and one of the great things about that is our professor set us up at all kinds of churches, synagogues, Muslims. We went all over. I mean, it was very enlightening. And at one place in particular that I remember, that what they did is they had people come up to testify, which I personally, the way I was raised, I'd never seen anything like that. That was new for me. But there was singing and praying and preaching and testimonies wherein the congregants talked about God. The host who met us at the door said, "Tonight we should have lots of testifying to the goodness of God." Listening to those who testified, it seemed they knew God and wanted to know God deeper. Some of the speakers were quite moving. One testimony started out like this: "Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to the pastor, elders, and deacons, saints, and friends, God has been good to me." The testifier went on with a personal reflection about who God is, what God did, and how fellow worshipers ought to respond to the miracle-working, prayer-answering, right-on-time God. And this person, when they got through, people were moved by the testimony. When we attended a conservative synagogue and a reform synagogue there in Fort Worth, their way of worshiping, what meant so much to them, was reciting liturgy from the books that were provided in the pew. And they would pick up a book and the rabbi would tell them what to turn to, and they all in unison would say whatever was written in that book that they were to read. Afterward, they had snacks in the hall, which, like our disciple hall, and they would have wine or juice and cheese and crackers, you name it. They had it, and they invited all of us in, and our class was a class of about 20. So 20 of us went in with the Jewish folks and partook of this meal that they had. And that's what they do. Every time they worship, in our case on a Friday night, they would have this little snack afterward. And we were always invited. And then, yes, we went to a mosque there in Fort Worth. And we were warmly welcomed and allowed to ask questions of those present. And you had to get permission. And our professor, of course, was friends with the guy who opened up the mosque and had people come in. And what was really interesting to me as I questioned these folks and learned more about their faith is one of the members was a very famous in the Metroplex brain surgeon. He was a brain surgeon. And he welcomed us and he said, ask whatever questions you want. And our class pummeled him with lots of questions. But he was really quite nice and amazing to talk to. So, you know, we had the Christians, we had the Jews, we had the Muslims. We went to the Greek Orthodox, spoke with the Greek Orthodox, and that was somewhat of a little mess because they had communion. No one told us we couldn't have it, and we went up, and they served us, which we weren't supposed to do, but we even had communion at the Greek Orthodox Church. But what I heard in the various settings were, in a way, helped shape my views of God and how God reaches out to people of various faiths and various denominations, and how the people who believe in God reach out and testify to their faith, regardless of that faith or that denomination. So when I think of these experiences, I'm reminded of the power of testimonies. And I heard this scripture so many times, and I hear John's testimony, and I can't even imagine what it must have been like to hear John the Baptist testify, witness to how he is aware of and loves the Lord. It must have been very powerful, because we know that a lot of people followed John, and we know that the followers of John started following Jesus as soon as they realized Jesus was in their midst. Now, a bank president came to his pastor concerned about one of his tellers. I want you to hear this very carefully. A bank president came to his pastor concerned about one of his teller's souls. He asked his pastor to talk to him, but the pastor said, "It would be better if you did that. He would look upon my visit as a professional task." "All right," said the banker, "but will you go with me?" The pastor agreed to do so and went and sat with the banker in his office. The banker pressed a button and the teller came in. After exchanging pleasantries, the president said, "I want to talk to you about the most important thing in the world, your relationship to God and your salvation." In a surprised manner, the teller asked the president, "Do you mean to say this matter is more important than all of our banking business? More important than our deposits and loans?" "Yes," said the president. "Then why haven't you spoken to me about it before? I've been with you for 12 years. Do your friends ask that question? Why haven't you told me about it? Is it our secret? You have friends that may have been around you for 10, 12, 50 years, but you've never witnessed. And I think we all know that doesn't mean cramming it down anyone's throat. That's not what we do. At least that isn't what we should do. But to say, I just want you to know that my faith in God has really made my life a great life. Might work for you too. I have no doubt that it will. You don't beat them over the head with it, but listen to John when John testifies to Jesus. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie the straps on his shoes. I can't do it because he's that wonderful. What is most important to you? If it is your faith, have you shared it? Witnessing doesn't mean cramming the gospel down someone's throat. As I said, you simply let them know how it has affected your life. If every person considered his, her calling sacred and used the opportunities presented to witness for Christ, not only would many souls be won, but the highest happiness on earth would be found. But all too often we act like it's a secret. Well, they'll think I'm a nut. I don't want to bring that up. John the Baptist considered his calling, his love of God, the most important thing in his life. So he shared it with everyone he encountered. And this gospel is saying, do you? How important is it? Listen, this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Important question for all of us. Who are you? Are you someone who attends church, but you don't want anyone to know? Someone who believes in God, but you don't really want others to know? A follower of Christ, but you don't really want anyone to know? That question is relevant for each and every one of us. Who are you? What do you witness to? What does your actions, your words, witness to? It is also important to note John did not attempt to take on any importance to himself. It wasn't about him. He made it clear he was not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, simply the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and I'm letting you know how important this person is, how important God is. John's actions were a declaration of who he was as a person and as a servant of God. Now, there are four levels of spiritual maturity, I've been told, and I'm going to share those with you. Number one, rebellious faith. See if you can identify yourself. I'm going to do what I want regardless of what God says. Then there's the conditional faith. If God gives me what I want, I will give him what he wants. Then there's the growing faith. I will give God what he wants. With the faith, he will give me what I need. And then there's the selfless faith. I will give God what he wants regardless of any thought of myself because he is the Lord and worthy of my praise. Which one describes your heart right now? So many followers of Jesus, I believe, get stuck in conditional faith. And folks, I can tell you I heard a lot of this in the Navy. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll go to church every Sunday. Lord, if you'll just help me right now, I'll read the Bible every day. None of those things ever stick. But it's, I'll give you what you want if you will help me, if you'll give me what I want. Is that where you stand? If I get what I want in life, then I'll come to church. If I get what I want out of life, then I'll spend a couple of hours a week praying. It is really difficult to get any more conditional than that. If you do for me, then I'll do for you. And John is out here saying, it doesn't matter to me what God does for me. My faith in God drives me to do what I do, which is to witness to Him and to the Son. I've even witnessed parents saying things like, if you'll clean your room, I'll buy you a toy. And it makes me wonder when they get older and become adults if that's where the kids learn how to haggle with God. God, if you'll let me get away with this, I'll get you a toy. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but we all too often as we get older begin to start haggling with God. And God, I will give you what you want if you give me what I want. And that is not the faith that John the Baptist puts before us. I believe this scripture calls us to take an inward look to evaluate our commitment to Christ, to ask ourselves if our commitment is conditional or if it is absolute. And that's a huge question. Is my faith conditional or absolute? No matter what happens in my life, no matter how things go, I'm committed to Christ. Or, doggone it, that didn't go right, so not for you, God. Not going to do it. Another way to put it is your faith in God selfless or selfish? A mom was headed to McDonald's with her 5-year-old son one day, and as they drove, they passed a car accident. The mother had a practice of encouraging her children to pray for those who might be hurt. So the mom pointed and said to her son, "We should pray." From the back seat, she heard this prayer, "Please, God, don't let those cars block the entrance to McDonald's." All too often, we're like children. Selfishness is not living as one wishes to live. It is asking others to live as one wishes to live. That came from Oscar Wilde, and that's a very true statement. When we're selfish, we want everybody around us to live the way we live, to be like us, to do like us. But when we're selfless, they don't have to be like us. They just need to be loved as our neighbor. One day, an old rich man who was always miserable, the guy had a very miserable disposition, and he visited a rabbi who took the rich man by the hand and led him to a window. The rabbi said, "Look out there." The man looked. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men, women, and children," answered the rich man. Again, the rabbi took him by the hand and this time led him to a mirror. "Now what do you see?" "I see myself," the rich man replied. Then the rabbi said to him, "Behold, in the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver, and no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, but you only see yourself. If we are to be true witnesses, if we are to attest to God's awesomeness, we must see beyond ourselves as John the Baptist saw beyond himself. He didn't look into a mirror. He took that backing off and looked through a glass. And what he saw is a world of people who needed help, a world of people who needed a Savior. And what he saw was God's call for him to let everyone know, to get out there and let people know God is here to save you. God has sent his only Son to die for our sins, and you need to be a follower. I'm not him. I could never be him. But you should follow him. And what did John's followers do? When John was taken into prison, his followers went to Jesus. And they were glad that they did. For John was called by God and witnessed to Christ. I believe this text asks each and every one of us, do you? How important is testimony, witnessing? Some of us will go into a court and witness. Do we have to be in court to witness to Jesus Christ? We're here. We're gathered as His people. We should witness. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you all too often, we forget to even mention that we know you. Or we choose not to. Whatever the case, Lord, we ask your forgiveness when we do not tell others about you and share our faith. We ask that you fill us with that spirit that says, let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let people know that I love them and I am with them always. May we always be the followers you want us to be, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.